Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Rectech's more than a grill, it's a lifestyle. Smart grill technology, RECTEQ.com, Rectech with a Q.com. Kevin Clark's an NFL writer, formerly of the Wall Street Journal. Then Bill Simmons found him at the Ringer. Very funny guy, has great insights, and he is now joining us live on a Monday. So you're known in our industry as you have a tweet you did a couple years ago about the Seahawks, and it is funny because it's so true. My sister didn't like football until Russell Wilson arrived, and now she texts me all Sunday. She's like, these games are crazy. I don't know how you stand this sport. It's nuts. And your tweet is, the Seahawks have literally never played in a normal game. And I'm watching yesterday, and I'm like, Russell didn't even play well just until the end. Does it speak well of them? Or is it just Russell Wilson's the life preserver for a constantly in flux, chaotic football team? How do you see the Seahawks today?
I think it depends on the game. I was stunned when I saw the stat yesterday that since 2012, Russell Wilson has the most game-winning drives, but he beat out Matthew Stafford for that. And when you think about Matthew Stafford's career versus Russell Wilson's career, that's absurd. I mean, Matthew Stafford should always be playing from behind. Russell Wilson should never be playing from behind. And the fact that they had the equal amount of opportunities is crazy to me. So I think that Russell Wilson, his ability to score points very quickly this year has put them in position to succeed. Obviously, the let Russ Cook thing is happening this year. My take on this let Russ Cook thing is that the reason he's cooking is because the restaurants are closed. He has to cook because there's no defense. There's no pass rush. They don't have a choice. I think Pete Carroll and Brian Schottenheimer would play a different brand of football if they could, but he's got to score points and score points quickly. That's why they went on that 21-0 run yesterday in the third quarter. That's why they had to have that 90-yard drive at the end after the Vikings failed on 4th and inches. He has to be the leader of that team in all facets because nobody else will. So why do they play such weird games? Because Pete Carroll likes to keep it close. He likes to play a physical brand of football. And then when he has to, he's going to let Russell Wilson win the game. It shouldn't be Matt Stafford, but it is.
Yeah. So I'm watching Kansas City and the Raiders yesterday, and a lot of the wise guys in Vegas did like the Raiders. So, you know, there were some people, and I'm obviously not smart enough to do that because my picks were awful again. But I will say this. I was very critical when the Raiders went and got a coach who'd been out for a decade and a GM that would never been a GM. But, Kevin, you start watching the Raiders' offensive pieces, and it's like they're not missing on any of them. Like, they have talent everywhere, and it's all young. And should we take the Raiders for real?
Yes, we should. Now, real means different things here. Can they make the playoffs? Yes. Are they an AFC contender to play in the championship game or something? No. But when I look at Henry Ruggs, I saw that quote from John Gruden after the game where they said, he's not here to run hitch routes. He's here to push the tempo down the field. He had, you know, a contested catch yesterday. He had that 72-yarder. I mean, this is the type of guy. And there are not many of these guys throughout the league who can change the offense, who can unlock how an offense should play. Derek Carr has been criticized for not going down the field nearly enough over the past 3-4 years. Ruggs is the type of guy who can get open deep, and he can make any quarterback a deep thrower, including Derek Carr. So I think that these skill guys, whether that's Josh Jacobs, whether that's Henry Ruggs, just some of the guys Mayock has hit on. You know, the joke about the Raiders is they just draft from the college football playoff. They watch 3 games a year and they say, let's get the Alabama guys, let's get the Clemson guys. But that's not a bad strategy right now. I mean, I kind of like this group they put together.
Yeah, say what you want, but Belichick for years has leaned on Urban Meyer guys and Nick Saban guys. So to your point, you can do worse than drafting Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson guys. Yep. So, you know, there's an old thing. We never tell our friends this, but we all have friends. But then there's the friends like we would trust to take us to the hospital if we were ill or to the airport. And we won't tell our friends which one are in and out of that group. But it felt like yesterday with Jimmy Garoppolo. There's quarterbacks that can win games, and then there's quarterbacks who can win games, but the coach is always willing to take a phone call on another quarterback. And I watched Shanahan's body language yesterday, and I'm like, you can't unsee that from Jimmy Garoppolo. And they already slapped his hand with the adult film star and the fourth quarter stuff. And I do wonder if there's a little damage done with Garoppolo and Kyle. And it's he'll take phone calls going forward to replace him if somebody's out there.
When you have Kyle Shanahan as a play caller, you should be judged very, very harshly. It's like being given a Ferrari. You're driving down the highway and there's Priuses passing you, right? That shouldn't be happening.
Right.
If you have Kyle Shanahan getting guys open, creating conflict with defenses, you should be hitting open guys. Now, he had the high ankle sprain. There's a history of quarterbacks coming back from that too early and sailing passes. I understand that. But I think that when you've got this offense, and listen, they've been decimated by injuries, but not on the offensive line. This offensive line should be better, and they should adapt to be able to play behind it at this point. The defense is a mess right now. I think that they've gotten Kittle back. I think that the pieces are there for them to be better than this, better than getting blown out by the Dolphins at home, letting Ryan Fitzpatrick get another $10 million deal next year to keep some other rookie on the bench, wherever that may be. He'll be starting in front of Trevor Lawrence next year because of his performance yesterday, right?
Yeah.
And so when I think about the Niners, I think they need to start looking at an upgrade. I think Jimmy Garoppolo with Kyle Shanahan can work, but it's got to be better than this. And at that price tag, you really have to start asking questions.
So this sounds crazy. I said this, I think, Joy, I said this in the first hour, that I'm watching Matt Ryan yesterday, and we're going to blame Dimitroff for everything and Dan Quinn, but he threw a ball in the end zone, and it was like, Matt, you've been in this league for a decade. I'm seeing all these athletic kids. We'll watch Justin Herbert tonight. I see Lamar. I see Josh Allen. I see Russell Wilson. And now, you couldn't move Matt Ryan next year because of the cap hit. It's like, you know, it's just a huge cap hit. But I said, you know, Kevin, I've been watching this league for a long time, and it's changing. And your quarterback, Phillip Rivers, looks washed completely.
Yeah.
And it really undermines all the smart things the Colts have done. That doesn't matter. You can't have that quarterback. In Atlanta, would it be reasonable the next coach, you play Matty, but you start looking for his replacement? Is that sound outrageous for a guy that was an MVP, or am I onto something?
It's not outrageous at all. He's 35. That team is going to be about $35 million over the cap next year. And that's conservative because we don't know what the cap is going to be next year. But this team has a lot of talent. And I'm intrigued to see how Arthur Blank views this job. Does he see it as a teardown, or does he want a kind of a mid-career coach, almost like what Dallas did with Mike McCarthy, who can come in and try to maximize this talent? Because I think it could go either way. Calvin Ridley is very good. We know about Julio Jones, Matt Ryan. There's pieces on the defense. So I think it is an intriguing job. I think they can win. They're not a Super Bowl team by any means in 2021 or 2022. But I think that you come into that job almost like Matt LaFleur was in Green Bay, where you try to maximize what you have, but you're keeping one eye on the future. I think that's the most important thing. You need that cap flexibility, but you also have talent right now that you can win with. So I think it's a job. It's not Houston because there's no Deshaun Watson, but if I'm a sought-after offensive coordinator right now, I'm looking at Atlanta as potentially a very good job.
Yeah, it's interesting. All right, we got to talk about Dak's injury. It's gutting. It's heartbreaking. Yeah. Andy Dalton actually is a very – you know, it's funny. He's like – I guess in the NBA, he'd be a Mike Conley. You can get 14 points. He's a good distributor. He'll play defense. He's a good leader. You know, I'm not going to get Kyrie Irving, but there are, you know, this team's got weapons, and he's a good distributor. I don't think he's Dak Prescott, but I don't think the gap is the Grand Canyon. It's more the Laurel Canyon. It's a canyon, but it's not the same. And I look at Dak, and I think to myself, okay, he's going to get paid. He'll be back. He'll be fine. But is he? Do you worry that if they don't win this year, and I mean, are we sure in 1 year Mike McCarthy's the coach and Dak's the quarterback? I guess that's my question.
I guess it comes down to the timetable on the injury, which according to Jane Slater is 4 to 6 months at this point. But I think that the tragedy of this injury is that this was the year that if you didn't appreciate Dak, you were going to start appreciating Dak because he was going to put up otherworldly numbers on a team where there was no defense, where the coaching was letting him down again, a second coaching staff doing that. And so I think this is going to be a special year as far as just appreciating Dak, and that's not going to happen now. Hopefully Cowboys fans appreciated what he did in the first 4 weeks, and that we understand coming into negotiations next year, they probably franchise tag him again. Jerry and Stephen Jones have both said they want to keep him as the future in the last 24 hours. I believe them. So, yes, if I had to bet right now, they would run it back with McCarthy and Dak. I don't think they're going to sign him to a long-term deal anytime before we see what that ankle looks like going forward. But I think that they understand, as weird as this negotiation has been, they understand their best chance to win is getting Dak healthy instead of going into the lottery and trying to you know, draft a quarterback in the, you know, in the second round or something like that, and trying to find the next Andy Dalton. I didn't think this team was going to win the Super Bowl with Dak or without Dak. Their expectations for me have not changed. They're an NFC East favorite, and that means nothing to me because this team is not complete. This team had no chance of going into any NFC contender and beating them. So this was just about Dak personally. Obviously, this guy pulls at 100% throughout the league. Everybody loves him. You saw that yesterday with, you know, Jason Garrett and all the Giants rushing over to give their condolences on the injury. But I think that for me, nothing's changed. This is just a different look for this team this year. It is a tragedy for Dak personally. The league is better when guys can bet on themselves like Dak Prescott. It would have been better for players if Dak Prescott played this year, balled out, and got $200 million when he was in Dallas and elsewhere. And so from a player's perspective, I think this really hurts. I'm saddened for Dak and for the future of quarterback negotiations because he had a real chance to reset the market. I think this sets them back a year. I think Dak gets franchise tagged, and then eventually he gets that big deal. It just comes a year later than we thought.
Yeah. By the way, I still think Kansas City's the best team in the league, I think, or Green Bay. I had this thought yesterday. So I'm watching McCarthy and this team, and there's just so many defensive lapses. And I thought to myself, you know what? I know Aaron Rodgers can be a little prickly, but Aaron looks so good. And Dallas looks so dysfunctional. And I'm sitting there watching this with Aaron, and I'm like, maybe Green Bay is the best football team in this league. And we just Aaron was right, but in this sort of passive aggressive way, he, you know, the throwaways, the eye rolling. And I as I watched Dallas yesterday, I kept thinking of Green Bay, and I'm like, maybe Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, maybe I'm nuts on this. Maybe they're the best team in the league. This morning, Kansas City, Baltimore, Green Bay. I can't watch the Cowboys and McCarthy and not think about Aaron in the last 2 years together when they underachieved, and he's 17-3 since then. I can't stop thinking about it. Have we undervalued for the first time ever Aaron Rodgers is my question.
Yes, and the Packers undervalued him by taking Jordan Love in the first round. And so you can say it was the media and the hot take culture or whatever it was, but it was also the Packers who made that evaluation and said that we need to start drafting a first-round quarterback to start the succession plan. Okay, so this is not just a media creation. Okay, his own GM made that decision. So I think, yes, they really have the capability to win the Super Bowl, quite frankly. I think that they have the pieces, and I think that it tracks with everything we heard coming into this season from GMs, coaches, scouts, assistants, which is that the guys who know what they're doing, the veteran quarterbacks who have continuity with their receivers, will have an advantage and can take a little advantage, which normally exists from year to year by being a veteran, and it becomes a huge one because nobody has training camp, nobody has OTAs, nobody has padded practice like they normally do. And so Aaron Rodgers' ability to make something out of nothing, to make these incredible passes, it's becoming a huge, huge deal against flat-footed defenses who don't know what they're doing. Defenses are just falling down. When I'm asking guys, like, what are defenses doing? Are they running simplified schemes? The answer is no, defenses are just confused right now. They don't know what's going on. And who takes advantage of confusion better than Aaron Rodgers? Who takes advantage of those free plays better than Aaron Rodgers? When something bad is happening on the field to a defense, Aaron Rodgers is smart enough to take advantage. And that's why he's having this incredible year. That's why he's an MVP candidate. And that's why I would not be surprised on February 8th or whenever the Super Bowl is played if he's hoisting the Lombardi.
Yeah, it's weird. I watch McCarthy and I can't stop thinking about Aaron is 17-3 without him and looks better than he's looked in 6 years. Kevin Clark, The Ringer. Great stuff, bud. Appreciate you coming. I really like the pocket square. You brought your A game today for the show, and I really appreciate that.
Nice. Hey, I got a bringer for you, Colin.
Very nice. Look at that. Very, very suave. It's European looking and add some sophistication to our show. Much needed. Thank you, Kev. Kevin Clark.
Anytime, Colin.
Slow News Day pod video cast as well over at The Ringer. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Jimmy Garoppolo's return was short-lived against the Dolphins.
Dang.
He was benched for C.J. Beathard after a disastrous first half. He completed 7 of 17 passes for 77 yards and threw 2 interceptions. But Kyle Shanahan said that after the game, Garoppolo was only taken out because he didn't look 100% coming back from the ankle injury.
just the way the whole game was going. I mean, just kind of watching how we were playing as a whole, how he was playing. You could tell he was affected by his ankle. I mean, you can ask him more when he gets in, but I know he doesn't normally throw the ball that way, and I think he was struggling a little bit because of it and the way the game was going, that I was going to keep putting him in those positions and knowing we were going to have to throw it a lot to come back.
And that's what Trent Dilfer said. Trent thinks it was Kyle Shanahan who said, he's just not right. I got to get him out of there. He doesn't. It's funny because when I watched the game, they had referenced it a couple times. And as I looked at some of the video, he's throwing flat footed. He's not driving the ball. Watch. He's like front legging it. No, meaning it, there's some pain potentially.
His feet don't look right. And he had a bad game. CJ Beathard didn't do much better. 9 of 18 for 94 yards and one touchdown. I think also the Dolphins defense was just kind of doing whatever they wanted to. And the momentum was heading that way anyway. I think we probably shouldn't overreact too much to this game.
Right.
He is coming off an ankle injury. I'm going to give Jimmy Garoppolo a couple more of these situations, but I just think after the Super Bowl, there was a ridiculous overreaction to what Jimmy Garoppolo is. Probably before the Super Bowl, there was too much of a reaction to what he was as far as good as he is as well. Like, there is a... You're not your best. You're not your worst. So
right.
What is Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah.
And he does rely on Kyle Shanahan, and he is in a good situation. They're not as good as they were last year. They have major injuries. I just think, you know, we just need to come back down to the level with San Francisco.
That's fair.
Particularly for this season. And Jimmy Garoppolo is injured. Like, that was a terrible showing, obviously. And maybe he took him out because his ankle wasn't right, or maybe he's just not right altogether.
Right.
I'm going to lean towards it was probably had to do with his ankle. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 22 of 28, 350 yards.
He looked great.
And three touchdowns. So the Browns took on the Colts' number one defense and came out with a 32-23 victory.
I thought the Browns' first half, they were flawless. I thought Baker was great in the first half.
I'm not going to overreact, but I like what the Browns are doing. And
look
I
at
thought
these
that this game was a, you know, everyone was kind of dismissing the Cowboys win because everyone feels like the Cowboys are not that good. This was the game to win for me. Like, the Colts defense is not a game. Now, I understand Phillip Rivers is not what he was, and that shouldn't be shocking to anybody. But
you know what's funny about this game? The Colts didn't have their left tackler, Darius Leonard. And I went up and saw a stat Saturday morning. The Colts without their left tackle are not the same football team. I would not have bet it. Because I got a bunch of people saying, do you know Darius Leonard's out and Anthony Costanzo, the left tackle's out? And I'm like, no, I didn't know that. I don't know. And I'm not taking anything away from Cleveland. I thought they played a great first half of football. But I thought Cleveland got a tad injury break in that game, just a little injury break. Am I being unfair? Am I being too? It just seemed like.
I am also hesitant with the Browns because what happened the past 20 years of Browns football would make us not hesitant. But I love what they did in the offseason, and it is clearly paying off. And you can only beat the teams that are on your schedule.
Yes.
And the Colts defense is not a game. So the offense put up the most points in the Colts so far this season. Cleveland's defense was obviously able to pick up Phillip Rivers twice and keep him out of the end zone. And with this win, the Browns moved to 4-1 for the first time since 1994. That year, Bill Belichick was the head coach and Nick Saban was the defensive coordinator, and the team won a playoff game. So I think this is a playoff team the way that they're playing right now. Baker Mayfield went for x-rays on his ribs after the win, but they came back negative. So he was asked if he was going to play next weekend, and he said, oh yeah, mama didn't raise no wuss.
Anthony Costanzo for the Colts, who, by the way, I was in a restaurant a year ago and he walked in. He's a large man. He's the one. The Colts struggle without him. I thought, you know, it's funny about Baker. I got the best of Baker in the first half and more Baker issues in the second, where he started ad-libbing a little bit in the second half and moving around. But his first half of football, I was like, all right, this is the Baker that everybody tells me is going to happen every week.
I mean, you don't have to play perfect. Just got to get the win.
That's right.
And I thought this was a significant win for the Browns. Finally, LeBron won his fourth NBA title and fourth NBA Finals MVP last night at the age of 35.
Amazing.
And another old guy, Tom Brady, congratulated him on the accomplishment. LeBron's not really old, I'm joking. He's taking a little jab at himself, too. So he has the edit from, obviously, this last Thursday night game where he thought it was fourth down and he's holding up the four. He posted a picture of LeBron's face photoshopped onto his body holding up the four fingers with the caption, "Congrats to my brother King James on winning his fourth championship. Not bad for a washed up old guy."
Still don't understand how LeBron James is polarizing. I don't get that.
You know, I don't think he was polarizing until he had the decision and went to Miami.
Then why do we love Kevin Durant? Everybody loves Kevin Durant. He went and chose a better team.
Well, LeBron is a trailblazer in that sense, in that he kind of started the mobility.
Why do we love Kawhi Leonard moves around and went to it? I mean, everybody else is moving around.
Okay. LeBron James is the best player in the NBA.
Easily.
Right? When you're the best, you get criticized more.
It's ridiculous.
And that's just the way it goes. That's the price you have to pay. I don't think that the criticism he got when he went to Miami was fair. Granted, I benefited from that decision, so maybe I'm a little bit biased. Thought the overreaction to the decision was ridiculous. And, of course, the press conference with the Miami Heat, not one, not two, not three, made him even more polarizing. Since then, I don't know what you can say to be critical of what LeBron has done unless you just frankly don't like LeBron. And listen, my Heat just lost to LeBron. I can respect the fact that he's the greatest player in the NBA and they had an incredible run.
Yeah.
And what he's done is incredible.
How about J.R. Smith? Nobody parties like J.R. Smith. He had his shirt off before the game was over. I mean, even LeBron just laughing. Somebody told me J.R. Smith loves golf. Every time he goes on the road, he takes his sticks. I was talking to somebody.
I probably got a lot of golfing done then.
Somebody told me they're like, J.R. Smith lives for golf. He plays it every day during the season.
Are you still golfing?
Yeah. Not as much because, like, you know, I'm very busy. Worked a labor-intensive fall. Joey with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
The three-word game on a Monday. Every NFL game described in three succinct words.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
If you're not ready to give up, check out mdriveformen.com. More lean muscle. Good to have you in. Best for last on Mondays throughout the NFL season. We call it the three-word game, that it forces you to describe every game in three words. Be more succinct, and here we go.
Panthers at Falcons.
Finally, cleaning house. Atlanta fired their coach and their general manager. Finally, cleaning house. Their defense, with a defensive coach, is ranked tied for 30th and 31st in yards allowed. So when you've got a defensive coach and you're 14-23... their defense is bad, and they have Matt Ryan, who people think is a top 12 quarterback. So they're by the way, Dimitroff's a smart guy, but in the end, they don't have enough dynamic personnel. Finally, cleaning house.
Jaguars at Texans.
Will clean house. The Jaguars are abysmal. Doug Marrone should go. I understand what they're doing. Gardner Minshew now feels like he's regressing. They're 28th in point differential. They made an egregiously bad fourth down call deep in Texans territory and snapped the ball directly to their running back, who was going to throw but fumbled. It was so bad. It was so rinky-dink high school. Let's clean it up and start over.
Raiders at Chiefs.
Derek threw deep. Henry Ruggs, 118 yards. Derek Carr, the knock on him is he can dink and dunk. He doesn't like to throw deep. And John Gruden loves explosion plays. Well, Carr threw two passes, 50-plus yards, season high in passing yards and passer rating. And give Gruden credit, he and Mike Mayock have drafted lots of speed.
Cardinals at Jets.
Can't blame Darnold. The Jets now are 0-7 since Sam Darnold arrived in games in which Sam Darnold doesn't play. It is not Sam Darnold. This is systematic, institutional, coaching, front office. This is an egregiously bad team who, by the way, they've allowed 30-plus points in their last four games. So they're bad on both sides.
Eagles at Steelers.
Still doubting Steelers. They're 24th in yards per play. And that's just weird to me, considering you have Big Ben, Claypool, and some big play offensive players. I think they should be favored over Cleveland, but I think the Browns have a real shot in that game. They're still too inconsistent for me. There are elements I like for the Steelers, but they let, by the way, they let the Eagles hang around in this puppy for 3.5 hours, and they have much better, healthier personnel right now than Philadelphia.
Bengals at Ravens.
Burrow getting bludgeoned. He's taken the most sacks, hits, pressures in the NFL this year. He is on pace to get sacked 70 times this year. Like Andrew Luck in a bad year got sacked like 45 to 50. And he's not getting sacked by the average defenses. You're talking about Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, some of the biggest dudes in the league playing the AFC North.
Rams at Washington.
Welcome back, Alex. Right tibia. He had 17 surgeries on his leg, and I think I speak for almost all of America. We were a nervous wreck watching him play yesterday.
Dolphins at 49ers.
A new Garoppolo. It's not getting easier, folks. They take on the Rams, the Patriots, at the Seahawks, Packers, at the Saints, at the Rams, Bills. It kind of feels like the season is over. They have the single toughest stretch in the NFL, and whether it's inefficiency, incompetence, or an injury, they are offensively, and this is hard to do with Kyle Shanahan, completely out of sync.
Giants at Cowboys.
A bad win. The Giants had scored 47 total points in the first month. They scored 34 yesterday. I mean, it's not like Daniel Jones always had a lot of time. Daniel Jones was running and still wildly productive. They're really bad on the back end. I guess Dak's hurt. The defense is atrocious. The schedule's lightening up in the next 3 weeks. I guess the good news is Andy Dalton is a very good distributor, and they have a lot of good wide receiver weapons.
Colts at Browns.
Rivers dried up. God, he was awful. 4 TDs and 5 picks this year. I know he's a trash talker. I know everybody loves him, but they have done so many things right. The coach, Frank Wright, the assistants, they stole Dallas's best young defensive assistant. They built a great offensive line, DeForest Buckner. They've drafted well. Jonathan Taylor's terrific. Phillip Rivers can't make the throws. He can't make the throws down the sidelines. 60 passer rating yesterday, and that's not a great Cleveland defense. It's very average on the back end, but he's undermining now everything else they've done in the organization at a high level.
Vikings at Seahawks.
Zimmer's dangerous decision. Still don't like going for it, leading 26-21. Kicked the field goal up 29-21. Forced Russell Wilson, who hadn't played well in a driving rainstorm, to not only drive the field for a touchdown, but then secure a 2-point conversion, and that would still give you overtime, where the Vikings had outplayed Seattle, had 450 total yards, and ate almost 40 minutes of the clock on Sunday night. Didn't love it at all. Trent Dilfer didn't like it, and he's a coach right now. Didn't like it at all. Analytics, manalytics, blah, blah, blah. All right, good stuff. So tonight, I get old man Drew Brees, and I get Justin Herbert for the Chargers. I'm not sure what the line's like, 3.5 on that, 3.5, 4, what is it? Is it 7? Oh, I'll take the Chargers. I got to make back some of my earnings, which I lost yesterday.
It's Falcons.
Oh, it's terrible. Well, I've stopped betting the Jets. Now I'm off the Falcons. I'm going to take the Chargers plus 7 tonight. That's a good number. I'm going to take that. All right. Speak for Yourself is right around the corner for Goulet and Joy. It's great to have you in on a Monday in L.A. It's the Herd.